session is starting at like 5:32.
Forget the tape back.
Yep, is it on?
Roger.
I think so.
December 21st, 2017. Okay, so Al's getting some information together for us on the sidewalk district, the proposed sidewalk district for Route 48. As you know, we received a pretty significant grant opportunity. We partnered with the Village of Ballinsville to apply for a grant. Our section of the grant, or our portion of the grant, would run a sidewalk basically from the entrance of Chaucer Circle on Route 48 all the way up to the second entrance to Country Lane. Villages typically don't utilize districts to fund projects, although we did create sidewalk districts to do the extensive sidewalk work that we did in the village. Towns, however, mandate typically that a service like a sidewalk or a lighting or a sewer is funded by the specific district that's going to be utilizing it. So we're looking at a couple different maps as far as who might be included in there. But I believe it's a 2,200 foot long sidewalk, 5 feet wide. And again, it would run from Chaucer Circle to the second entrance.
And it's all on state land?
It's in the right of way.
Highway, right?
Yep. And it would be very similar to the sidewalk that you see as you drive out on your right.
Gotcha.
The residents of Chaucer Circle love that sidewalk. Every time I drive by it, there's somebody on it, whether it be a kid or a parent with a stroller. The reason why we did it in the village was to get kids off of Route 48, older kids that are walking to school grounds. There was no sidewalk. And then in the wintertime, it gets dark early, and the shoulders can get dangerous. The same situation exists for town residents that live further to the north along Route 48. There was a couple concerned residents that want us to look into that. We knew that the village was looking at a grant opportunity. We piggybacked on that, and so here we are. We have access to a grant.
How much?
The total project cost is estimated at $414,000. Our match is $82,850.
The rest is picked up by the state?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be perfectly honest.
We don't think it's going to be that high.
That's from what my experience with construction sidewalks is, the state's estimate uses a 20% contingency. Oh. It's got 10% in for survey. I mean, this is only a survey of one side of a street for half a mile. They've got $40,000 in for survey, another $70,000 in for engineering. Realistically, this is about a $180,000 project. Okay. So these numbers are ultra conservative, but this is what the grant's based on. So
our cost goes down then?
Oh yeah, because we're still only
20%.
Realistically, it's probably 60%, 50-60% of what this number is.
Okay.
But you don't know until you bid it.
Of the 82K? Of the 82,000?
Yeah. Okay. So the debt service calculation, so we've got some options on how we form the district. If you just include the residents in Giddings Crest and Country Lane, it's about 132 houses, and the debt service over 15 years at a conservative 4% interest rate
which is also conservative,
$56 a year per house. I used a $5,000 number for maintenance annually for snow removal, which we would contact to the track to the village, which is again probably conservative by 20%.
Has that been discussed?
Yes.
Steve said he would work up a number. They were willing to do it. He said he just have to.
They do it now. The existing sidewalk.
They run out to Chaucer.
They go to Chaucer City. They just go a half mile further.
Okay.
Yeah. Debt service and maintenance would be about $94 a year, if you only included Country Lane and Giddings Crest. The other option would be to include the portion of Indian Springs from Mott Road North, because Mott Road would dump out onto 48 where that sidewalk starts. And then the debt service and maintenance cost drops to $52 a year. So our next step would be to do a public interest survey So we'll write a letter to the affected residents, you know, however the board wants to go about the districts, whether we do just Country Lane and Giddings Crest, or if we include the northern part of Indian Springs, send a letter to all the affected residents with the stamped, pre-stamped return card. Yes, we'd be interested. No, we're not interested. You know, majority rules in America, 50% of the people say, yeah, we're willing to shoulder that that expense to have a pedestrian access to the village without walking on the side of the 48. Well, then we would be in a position to, or the board would be in a position to authorize me to do a map plan and report at, so we could form a district.
And then can it be stopped after that? Can someone say, I don't want this?
There's two ways to form the district. If you had a petition from all the people, sign like a petition for the water.
Then
it, with over 50%, then you form the district and that's it. If you do it on your own motion, if the board does it on its own motion, you have Al draw the map plan and report, you have a public hearing, you adopt an order approving it, but that's subject to permissive referendum. So if people don't want it and ask for a referendum, they could turn it around.
We would have to have the district in place before we signed the contract with the state for the grant.
Right.
Okay, and have you, these people are crossing 48 to get on the sidewalk.
They would be.
Right. So have you?
I've got crosswalk ladder striping bars included in the estimate.
Thank you.
No signals required.
No signal because we don't have any signal lights in those locations. No crossing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I'm familiar with the roads you just mentioned, but I mean, are you talking about that whole region there that would be part of this?
Yes. So you
the Indian Springs part.
Only the northern part from the houses on Mott Road north, because everybody to the south, I would think, would come through the
walk Brown Street
into over to Oswego Street to come out by the school, basically.
And what's the housing development there? Giddings Crest or something?
Yeah, Giddings Crest and Country Lane are the two housing developments up there north of the Chaucer Circle.
Maybe you can show us a map next time we meet.
Sure, I mean, I can... I can grab the one off the wall right here.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Actually, that's what we used.
So probably the best is what Al says, send postcards out if you get there.
Well,
you get enough people saying, yeah, good idea.
Well, and I was also hoping to maybe throw a public information meeting so that people can visualize it. It's one thing to get a postcard. Another thing to so that people can actually see a map like you're looking at.
Yeah. Unless you can include something in the mailing to them.
Yeah.
Get something.
So it would be... here, here, and then from Mott Road, here, north. And these two, there's two parcels here that are in the town on 48. The 48 right-of-way is actually the town's, or within the town boundary up to Chaucer Circle. So,
really?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a surprise for us. We didn't know that the
because
right-of-way
of those
was
two,
in the town.
Those two small parcels there... never annexed to the village.
And the sidewalk that's there now is a village sidewalk?
There isn't a sidewalk there.
No.
Oh, from Chaucer Circle south.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really good.
Now, just to reference it, we did that sidewalk. It was a grant from DeFrancisco for $50,000. We did that project in-house. We bought the forms, but all in, we were able to do that whole length for $50,000.
Now, the entire village of Baldwin's was paying for that sidewalk, whereas we're forming a district where only certain residents, so that's a little quirky, right?
Tony, I'll let you explain how town law, I mean, I guess technically you could say, I mean, I guess technically you could not do a district, right? I mean...
Well, you got to have a way to pay for it.
Well, that's what I mean. You could just pay for it out of the general fund if you, no?
Not if you go to tax them every year.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, this guy doesn't want to pay for their sidewalks.
Yeah, I get it. Believe me. I totally understand it.
You almost have to form a district.
And so, because I'm so new with this, so like all of the sidewalks and walkways in Radisson, that's all paid for by Radisson, right?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. So, their HOA paid for that.
They pay for them. They
do we have any other sidewalk district?
No.
No.
Who would
we should.
That's why towns are reluctant to do sidewalks, because it's a cumbersome process.
We have sidewalks that the DOT built out here in Plainville.
Yep.
When and they redid 370.
We do?
Yeah.
Sidewalks
yeah.
Out there?
Yeah, and we own them.
Where are they?
The agreement was
remember that when they widened 370?
Yeah.
From
they got those brick paver strip between the sidewalk that's all
they're
full
beautiful.
Of weeds.
Yeah, I've jogged out there in the Plainville.
Is
this the Four Corners of Plainville?
Yeah.
You check it out.
Yeah. We've got a sidewalk to nowhere, yes.
That's great.
Yes, we also have one up in Lampson.
Older sidewalk.
Yes. What about maintenance of it? Plowing them?
Well, that's why I said I had $5,000 in there annually for the village to plow them.
Okay. Now, you mentioned debt service, maintenance, and snow removal, but what about long-term maintenance? Because
so,
we're going to
so
have to replace those sidewalks.
Well, that's the debt service calculation is only for 15 years.
Okay.
Anticipated service life for the sidewalk is 25 to 30.
Right.
So realistically, you really wouldn't want to take away that debt service payment after the debt expired. You would want to build capital so that when it was time to replace the sidewalks, there wasn't
well,
as big of a borrowing.
Is what we're saying is there will be a permanent cost to the residents.
Oh, yeah. This isn't going... The debt service is really never going to go away.
Well, the debt service will, but the cost of...
But we'll build up money.
Right. You're going to... Exactly, to replace. So that when it's time to replace, you don't have to bond nearly as much. Would be the goal. And when you look at the debt service, even though it's only at 4%...
But you'll have money through that 25 years to repair... ice heaving.
Yeah. There's.
We won't have to find that money.
No.
You're building enough in there.
Yeah, and it's rare that you would. If the whole sidewalk degrades evenly, then yeah, you'd rip it out, depending on what percentage of it needs to be fixed. But typically, you're fixing a flag here and there.
Yeah.
It's not something cracks
tree,
at
tree,
yeah.
root.
Tree root.
Yeah,
or,
it's not going to be. You're not going to do a half mile all at once, typically.
All right, so you're going to send a letter, What are we going to do?
I think we send a letter along with a card saying, please respond by such a date if this is something that you'd be interested in.
But we can also do a public meeting as well. First of all, I'd like to invite them to a public meeting.
I think that's a good idea.
And I want them to learn about it first.
Well, I would say that you send a letter with the invite for the public meeting along with a card all at once, because my experience with the public meetings is less than 20% of the people actually show up.
Right.
So, but their neighbors come back to them and talk to them and, and a lot of people just send back a card saying, I'm interested or I'm not interested. I don't need a public meeting,
Well, depending on how you word what you say in the letter, I mean, if they know they're going to have to pay.
Oh, no, we would definitely tell them that would be very upfront. Okay. This is what the estimated costs are annually. This is what's included in those costs.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, so that's obviously going to be the first question.
What's it going to cost?
What's it going to cost me? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's... That's the first step in a process. Kind of a lengthy process. I mean, realistically, this is a 3-month process just to get a district formed, at a minimum.
I heard yesterday that there's someplace up north, and I don't know if it was Wellesley Island, Thousand, somewhere in that area, that an attorney charged to form a district $500,000.
Hey, don't be.
When I heard that, I said, how could that? He charged more in his fees than it cost to do his district.
Do the map plan and report, really?
No, not the map, just to do
to build it.
The legal stuff. He charged more for that than the whole thing.
See, that's why I think when the state comes up with these outrageously high numbers for projects, I'm convinced in all my years of municipal service that the grants that are provided for these types of projects aren't designed for the stuff that actually gets built. It goes to all the professional services surrounding.
Well, there's 20 grand in legal fees in this, in this grant, DOT's estimate. They got 20 grand in legal fees, even though we know you don't have to take any right away. There's no extreme grades. I mean,
they put it in. So you got a lot of room. But when I heard that, I said that's outrageous.
That's got to be.
It's almost criminal.
It's a criminal.
Basically.
I didn't get all the details. I just got to...
So what do you see the timetable being?
Your minimum 3 months. I mean, Joe, we can get the letter together next week, send it out the first of the year.
You develop an order, you got to do a
It's a minimum
hearing, you know, 20 days.
You're realistically 2.5 to 3 months minimum to get the district formed.
And then once you, if we do it the way we're talking about, you've got to do the 30 days after you approve it to wait for the
permissive referendum to expire.
Yeah. So yeah, probably 3 months.
And I don't know, you know, I mean,
wait,
I know Joe's
after.
Even after the town, if you do our district formation under Article 7A, which is order of the town board, there's still a 30-day wait before you file the paperwork with the comptroller's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they have 30 days to file the petition.
Theoretically, it could be reversed.
Yeah,
but after 30 days, you file a certificate saying there's been no objection, and you're done.
Moving forward.
Start the grant in that 30-day period. You got to wait to the end.
They're probably going to make you wait.
Well, wait. We wouldn't go through that.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to sign the contract until after that 30-day period had expired. Or I wouldn't recommend it.
You never know.
Yeah. But it's one of the. This is one of those.
I mean, right now the village is waffling back and forth if they want to go forward with it. And I said to Steve, "Is like, I think you need to present the numbers to the board of what the actual debt service payment is annually."
Well, because when they first looked at this, there was a real concern. They were intimidated by what the state was coming up for numbers wise.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, they didn't.
And the state makes you pass the bond resolution for the whole amount of the project so that you know that you have the money to pay the contractor, because the state's notoriously slow in refunds on these.
The village has to do a component too?
Yes, this was a joint application between the village and the town.
Oh.
If the village doesn't go forward, the DOT has indicated that the town can move forward with the grant,
and vice versa.
If the town drops out, the village can go forward with the grant still.
Part of this is in the village, is what you're saying?
No, the village is doing other areas. This is an overall sidewalk improvement grant. It's a TAP. It's a New York State DOT TAP grant.
Okay.
So we're doing 2,200 feet. What are they?
2,500.
2,500. What do they propose?
I can't remember what their total distance is.
I think
we're about a third.
A third.
About a third.
So they're doing.
Their estimate is about $900,000, their construction.
Which is that big?
It's big. I mean, and the board, I think, is worried about, because the DOT makes you pass a bond resolution for the full amount of the project, and then they reimburse you for it. You don't actually take the full. You never borrow the money, but it's the impression that you're borrowing $900,000. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, it's a good grant. It's a good.
Something we competitively bid out.
That's
where you'll see the real number come in.
You know,
you're going to see it probably, what do you say, 60% lower than
over 40% lower. There's going to be a 40% savings by the time we're all said and done with this, because I'm not going to spend, they got $70,000 in engineering fees in their estimate. I'm not going to spend 6 months working on this. You know what I mean? This is a pretty easy design. I mean, construction administration isn't that time-consuming. Tony's not going to spend $20,000 to form the district. It's not going to be a $40,000 survey for a half mile of one side of a road.
Might have to take a tree down here and there. But
is there anything physically in
there's
the
some
way?
Trees probably trees that'll have to come down. There's no utility poles there. No, that would be in the way. And the right of way is actually relatively wide there. So we're. It's an 80-foot right of way.
It's our right of way or the state right of way?
State right of way. Okay. So,
they were easy to work with on that section of Chaucer.
Yeah, I was just thinking we're going to need permission if we're going on the property to take the tree down. It won't be a problem.
Yeah, it's a good grant. Opportunity. I mean, it's a sizable chunk of money for the residents that are affected. We just got to. You know, if there's not public support.
Yeah, and I think when you present it, you let them know that the state's paying for a good portion of this. So
they're paying for 80%.
That ain't going to happen too often.
Well, I mean, these grants are very competitive. Tony will tell you. I mean, this is the second DOT grant that I got this year, and it's rare for you to get one every 5 years. To get two in a year is.
Yeah.
I think the fact that we were teaming up with the village helped us a lot. I mean, they saw, and it's a, you know, it's a project that
it was justified.
Is needed. You know, it's
they like when you're with another municipality.
I mean,
that's big for them.
For us to get two DOT grants in a year is a good windfall. So
good job.
So it does make sense to include Northern.
You know, the only argument that you could make was Mott Road comes out right at the town line. Right at the town line. So they're technically using the village sidewalk more than the towns.
Unless they go north.
They want to come back north to go south if they're trying to get to the village?
Well, if there's kids that are friends up in that neighborhood.
Maybe they're trying to get up to Gilman's Crest.
I see people
house.
Running.
Now, if they're kids, they're going to cut through back.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a trail.
I don't think anything about the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Someone's backyard.
I mean, there's always, like, I always see somebody on that, we call it the Chaucer sidewalk, but just the other day, there was a guy walking his dog in the middle of the road. And I mean, you can't make people use a sidewalk. But if you drive that section, well, drive it home tonight. I invite you to see, look how dark it is. And this time of year with kids, you know, living in that area that have to walk home or after sports
practices and stuff, there's certainly a need. It's certainly a justified project. It's just a matter of if there's public support to move forward.
Cool. All right, so that's that. Maintenance office security fob. So this was in our proposed
building renovations
phase two. But once we realized really how much stuff was in there and how valuable the stuff was to our operation, we have some money left over this year in buildings and grounds. We thought that we might speed this up a little bit because we are waiting to hear from that
other grant. And that piece of that project wouldn't be eligible under the other grant because it's not.
We'd have to pay for it anyway.
So
for $1,200 right now, Brandy's office isn't even locked.
And that has all our electronic equipment in it.
It's got the boiler.
Right behind glass wall in the rotunda.
The assessor's office next to the assessor's.
Why isn't it locked?
Never has been.
There's no access to control on it. It's not locked. It doesn't even have a locking handle on it.
You can't just put a lock on the door. You need one of these things.
You could, but if we're fobbing everything. There's a lot of Karen gets in there. Dina gets in there.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that goes in for any cleaning supplies, anybody that goes into that, we need a key, basically. Anybody that goes into that room. We have a little general toolbox for when things break that we go in there for. There's supplies in there.
I get it, but...
And with a fob, doesn't it report who went in?
It does. Yes.
So you'd know who was in there. Otherwise, you either use a code to get in or you don't get in.
So you said we have money left over.
We do.
And you believe this is going to be about $1,200?
Yeah, it's $1,200 and change. We actually got an estimate already.
Okay, what do we have left over?
We're just under or just over $9,000.
Can we use that fob that's on the door to the copy room? Let's just take that fob out and use that one instead of buying a new fob?
We could. I thought the point of having that there was so that the assessor's office was secured.
But that's to the copy room and not to the assessor's office.
Yeah, but there's no access control on the door.
There's no lock on that door. It's just a doorknob. So the fob doesn't need to be there.
Okay, I was not aware of that. We'll have to look into getting a locking doorknob put on that.
Okay, so is that where you want to keep that fob?
I think that's the best place to keep that.
Really?
Yeah,
because would be okay to put it where the assessor's office is and then the copy room. So.
Well, they want to keep that door open all the time, they said. They like that door open. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me if we go with a lock on the door. I'm presenting it as, hey, this is what we could do. If you've got other ideas, I'm open to them. Joe's open to them. Tell us what you want to do.
The only thing with it's easier with a fob because otherwise you've got to have keys. Keys made. Keys get lost. People have access to keys. People leave with the keys.
People leave. You got to change the lock.
Spend
$1,200 on keys.
It's easy to deactivate.
The fob is a keystroke. Deactivation is a keystroke away.
And you know who it is.
And you know who it is.
Yeah, and so if you, yeah, and you know who's going in and out. So if there is an issue, something happened, you know.
That's the system we've developed and we're using, so.
It's worth it. If any door, I mean, that's the nerve center, basically, of the town. I'm really surprised it's...
I don't think there's any dispute that it should be locked. I'm just asking myself, do you spend $1,200 or $65 on a lock? I mean, maybe this is the technology. I mean, I always walked around with a set of keys in my pocket. I mean, at some point, are there places where there's locks where you, are we going to fob everything?
There's not much more to fob.
Well, you got highway departments, you got...
Well, that, yeah, that, the highway.
I kind of think highway should be...
Highway.
Parks department.
It essentially acts as a time clock.
Well, but I know that's a different purpose, but you got... I'm just trying to look for the principle here. I mean, mm-hmm. Where do we draw the line? I mean...
We fob all sensitive areas of the precedent is that we fob sensitive areas of the building.
But you can make the argument that this room that you're talking about is already in, and then you just have to get to something. So, you know, there's a half a dozen people that have Schlage locks, you know, keys and on their keychain, and they get in. I mean, I'd like it. I don't know. $1,200 is $1,200 as opposed to, I'm sure a locksmith could do the whole job for under $100, and you're done.
All right, let's mull it over.
Mull it over.
I have another idea. We could take that fob, it's not being used right now, and put it on the door that goes to the town clerk's office and that copy room to the assessor's office. That way nobody can go back there at all.
It makes no difference to me. We're going to pay a few $100 in labor for him to do that. I could, yeah, that's fine. If you want to just fob the door off of the rotunda, and we take care of the assessor's office and the copy room all at once, that's fine by me. If we ever do something with that other end of the building, that copy room door does kind of come into play.
So you're talking fob in the back hallway going to your door.
Correct.
Yeah, so people can't go back to that back area, the town clerk's office, the copy room to the assessor.
I don't know if the cost is in the fob. I don't know how much we save on a unit. Like, I don't know of the 1,200.
Oh, I think that I would guess the units are probably $800 and it's $400 in labor around the world.
All right. Well, let's see if we can save some cash.
Okay. I'll ask him.
Okay.
Thanks.
Building security. We did add a camera to the back parking lot. Strange thing happened some time ago. So we have a camera that faces that door and that part of the parking lot. Maybe 3 months ago, it was the strangest thing. My wife's car, Ford Explorer, I went out after one of these meetings and my back seat had been pushed back all the way back and tilted in a position that I wouldn't have left it in. So I don't know if someone was in it or something funky happened with the seat, but I went to review the camera coverage to see if anybody was messing with it. And it just doesn't, you couldn't look that way. So the conference room door, David Raleigh's door, my door to this building, and any cars parked over there aren't picked up or covered by camera coverage. So we added a camera to the system that exists now. And I think it was like, what was it, $500 or $600?
I never even saw the estimate on it. I think Dan got it.
Yeah, Dan Picardo got it.
The building jogs. How'd you do that? Did you do it?
It just faces that way. There's two cameras out there now instead of one.
There's two.
I mean, like your door, it covers your door to your own.
Well, it covers the sidewalk.
Going to, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, okay. But
doesn't not, actually,
not, if not, you came around the other side, you wouldn't see it.
Yeah.
No, but we don't need, you know, my concern is where people are. People are getting in and out of their cars. You know, I know we had a constituent who was concerned about his car. He thought that his car may have been messed with when he was at a meeting, and we just don't have any coverage over there. Employees leaving, getting in and out of the building. I think that the front parking lot is completely covered.
It is.
And in this review that we're gonna do on our workplace violence or workplace safety audit that we had, I think we can we can include that in that review.
So how much did you say that was about, or you don't know?
It was like $600 for the camera.
You just, that's a, just giving us that information.
I'm just giving you that information, yeah. Building security.
That's what we were talking about.
Yes. Building use policy. I will say this, and we won't have this discussion tonight because Jerry's not here. Jerry had mentioned a couple of ideas that he had for the highway facility and how we control access to that facility. I had thought for a while that, you know, we have a gate, we have two gates, one that goes out onto 60 Road and one that goes to the parking lot of the facility. And a number of times the gate's been left open, and so the yard is open. You know, the village years and years ago, not only put a gate in, but also put a chain and a motor that had like either a pressure plate or a magnet. I don't know what they used, but when trucks pulled up, the gate would open up automatically. Trucks would leave, the gate shuts. And there's a keypad for like off hours if they want to, you know, have that accessible. The guy first called in would have to open up it, and then it would be, you know, you'd have access at all hours. Something to think about for next year. Was not budgeted for, but certainly, you know, I think there's that yard should be secured.
Probably 19, it's a 2019 project, I would say.
Probably 2019. Just put something on the radar screen. And I would expect that, you know, Jerry, once he's in office, will present a number of ideas that he has from a security standpoint.
Yeah, they make units that you can use a fob. They make units that have like a garage door opener too. I've seen a couple different, rather than a pressure plate, which in the wintertime is not the best option. I think they actually make like motion sensor ones too. Car pulls up, detects the motion, opens the gate. Mm-hmm. I personally like the door opener style, just because it's...
Because you got to have one.
Well, you don't, you know, a deer running in front of it, or you know, an animal isn't going to trip the gate.
Yeah. So that's that. And then the building use policy, Dina had... led a committee 6 months ago, 7 months ago. Thanks, Al.
Yeah.
Thanks. We were having issues with the alarm system, and we really wanted to get a handle on how we controlled access to the building, what was going to have to be in place. And so we came up with this policy. You want to talk about it? You want to come on over? Or?
Yeah, all right. Okay, so basically we wanted to have an agreement that somebody would sign so that they would be responsible for when they're here. So I took a policy. I think the last time it was updated was probably the one that I found was like 2009 or something like that. So I thought I'd bring it up to date. It's just basic, simple. I guess the only issue I think was the use of the facility would be denied to certain people. So that I used that from the last draft.
Well, and I think, did you mention it? I think it's smart to take Tony's name out specifically.
In a policy, I wouldn't use Tony's name. I would use the department head of the company.
Okay.
Yeah, that way, you know. Right. You don't end up with a Milt Billy situation. Remember when we found his name in the code book?
Yep.
I would just, the department head of the Parks and Rec should keep a record.
Yep, okay. That makes sense.
I have a couple of questions. One, we talked about cleanup, and they said, well, we said we're not going to do any cleanup and so forth, but if we do, we're going to charge them. What about the thought of having them make a deposit when they sign the contract? If the place is clean when they leave, we give them the money back. If it's not, we don't have to chase them for it.
I see what you're saying.
I think if you have to clean it up and spend some money, mm-hmm. and then go back to them and say, hey, you owe us another $50, you're never going to get it.
Right.
I think that's exactly what happens when Tony rents a shelter. He gets a cleanup fee, holds it.
Okay.
And then give it back. Yeah.
And if,
cleanup fee.
He needs to use it, he uses it, and if he doesn't, he returns it.
Or security deposit.
And then whatever fee we charge, does that cover our personnel? Somebody's got to come here and open the door?
Yes, that's what's covering the personnel.
Because it's only 50 bucks and 20, yep. 25 bucks for not-for-profit.
Yeah, because it's 10 bucks an hour, 10.77 or whatever it is for the
But
person.
Are we paying them overtime when they're coming? Mm-hmm. Or if it's nighttime use?
No, not. You mean for the parks attendant?
Yeah.
No, they just come in and cover it.
That was, I had a couple of thoughts on that. And the other one was, who do we want to make the building available to? I think ultimately there should be something in here that leaves the discretion with the use of the building up to the supervisor. It kind of says that, but it says any group deemed undesirable. I don't know what the hell that means. You know, what's undesirable to you may not be undesirable to me. But I think there ought to be something in here ultimately that says no matter what happens, the ultimate discretion for the use of the building lies with the town. So that we can say no whenever we want to say no without any excuse.
So would you
we don't want to discriminate, but we want to also be able to say this is our building and we're going to let people use it that we want to let use it, not, you know.
Right.
Okay. For example, the Pop Warner, they have their sign-ups here. Mm-hmm. They have like the boater safety course here, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and those are fine, but you're going to find some, I'm thinking you're going to find some group that's going to come in and we're going to say, you know what, guys, I don't think we want to have this group here, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have some method to say no, you know, they're going to say, hey, why are you turning me down? You're discriminating. If you have something that says the town has the ultimate...
Reserves the right to refuse. Access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And on that note, I have a comment, and my question for the group is, why are we even considering renting this to a for-profit group? To me, this is... We don't have to rent any of the rooms. We're not in the business of room rental.
That's what I circled too.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
There's plenty of places for profit places to go. Whether you go to Mohegan Manor, whatever you do, I don't care. And we're not even in the business of renting it it's not like a picnic shelter where we want people to rent our room. This is on a case by case basis. Yeah. So, to me, limited to for profit groups and
not for profit.
Not for profit groups, and I also. I don't know why we would not allow a religious group to come in here.
Well, the problem with that, Bob, is if you allow one, you're going to have everybody in here. I'll tell you a perfect example.
Please.
Catholic Church says, we want to have whatever. Don't think for a minute that you're not going to get some atheist organization saying, I don't want my public building being used to promote religion. The religious thing kind of presents a bigger
really?
Problem.
Because okay, I asked Tony, Joe, to ask you about this. You're saying that we best avoid that. Because I was thinking the other way, that we would be accused of discriminating against. Because no, you know,
not if we don't. But if we don't let any of them, we're not discriminating against anybody. Right. But as soon as you let one in, you know.
Well, the reason I don't mind what you just said is I don't really want to be in the business of renting this room out. I mean, it's a headache for the staff that has to do it, and $25 is. Nothing.
And we don't have to. I mean, a lot of municipalities don't rent their.
But on the other hand, Pop Warner is a great example. Where are they going to meet?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, no,
so let them use our facility. They're a partner of ours.
Let them meet here and let them pay their $25 and let them pay the deposit for cleanup and, you know, and make this an unadvertised special.
Right.
You know, like we're not going to promote that we do this.
I totally agree with that. That's why I say that's the first thing I circle in the first sentence.
So get rid of the for-profit. For-profit and wordsmith thing, according, maybe you can help Dean and Tony with your wording in terms of how to say, and because we don't want to say any group deemed undesirable. Say it's in the discretion of the town of Lysander, blah, 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 blah.
On that note, as far as building and building maintenance going, I do want to let the board know about a conversation that I had. With the village of Baldwinsville concerning floors. If you notice the floor, I don't know the last time this floor has been cleaned or shined or
waxed
or
polished.
It's probably been.
It's not since I've been here. It's probably since we moved in 2007.
So
I don't remember. I've been here for a few years.
They bought the rotunda floor 3 years ago. But other than
I think they bought a buffer. With the intention of bringing these floors back. Mm-hmm. And so, but I know there's an individual that does the floors for the village in their meeting hall and Canton Woods. His name's Eric Charbonneau. He's got a lot of experience doing it. And I thought that if he could come in here and work with Brandy, and show Brandy how to do it. It's just something that we could probably do on our own, and whether we either hire him at a certain rate or come up with an intermunicipal cooperative agreement with the village and pay him, I think he mentioned 12 or 13 bucks an hour.
Is he an employee of the village?
He's an employee of the village.
Hmm. That's basic maintenance.
Yeah. So it's, you know, just throwing it at you. I'll have more information when I have a chance. He wanted to take a walk around and actually see how big of a job it would be.
If I could make another suggestion to the group on this building use policy, and Dean, I would, if you think it's a good idea, you and Tony go talk about it. What if we charged $25 for the first hour and $15 for every additional hour? Because if some group just wants it for an hour, that's $25. But if another group wants it for 4 hours, then...
I think we did talk about that, and we weren't sure what we were going to do on that. But yeah, anyway, so if somebody's here for 5 hours...
And I was thinking about that as well, because the custodian is going to come here at 7 o'clock, and does he have to stay while they're here?
I would think so.
We
if
do.
If it's a 3 or 4 hours, then he's got to, you know, you're going to need up to $25.
So here's a question. Let's say it's an hour and 15 minutes. They don't wrap up within an hour. You know, where's the cutoff before you charge him another hour?
Yeah, you got to have some flexibility, but, you know, it's a big difference between that and, you know, an extra 2 hours or whatever. So... But I mean, I think when they apply, mm-hmm. you know, how long do you anticipate? Okay, here's the deal.
Okay.
$25 for the first hour and $15 for every hour after that.
I just threw that
out. At least so that they know, hey, if we stay over, it's going to cost us more money. So
okay. Whatever the additional amount is, it has to cover the cost of that employee plus right. some. Yeah.
So that's only if it's for a for-profit then.
No.
For anybody.
We're barring.
So this is the
for profit.
Not for profit.
Okay. So not for profit would still have to pay.
We're not even saying it. We're saying we're doing this for not for profit.
Okay.
And it's $25 for the first hour and $15 for each additional hour.
Yeah, I think we crossed this part right off.
Yeah.
For profit is
just something like
that. How long before the meeting are you giving them? Or when does the time start?
They would schedule their time, so it would start if they said they were going to be here at 6.
To set up for 6.
And our person is here at 6, their time starts. If they're late and we have a resource here waiting for them, it's not when they show up, it's when they reserve it for them.
There's got to be flexibility built to this. You and Tony, I mean, if they say we want to come in and set tables and chairs up and banners and... Fine. That's part of your hour, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to work that out on a case by case basis.
Okay.
You will.
Yeah. If they say we need to be here 10 minutes early, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah.
No, do it.
And while the board is here, I was gonna see if we would be able to maybe hire a cleaning crew. Not maybe on a weekly basis, but maybe just once a month to get somebody in here to really deep clean the building. I know Joe, you and I kind of talked about this before, but you know, I think that it needs to be a little more.
We have Brandy who does as much as he can within the time that he's here. But when you, I think if you walked around this building and you took a really close look, there's picking up and maybe making sure that there's cobwebs out of the sconces, and then there's cleaning, where the bathrooms are clean. You walk in, you know a bathroom's clean. And I've heard from...
I've talked to other town clerks and how they do it within their towns, and a lot of them hire outside agencies.
Well, what's Brandy doing for us? I mean...
If you look at the square footage of the building, Brandy's here 20 hours a week.
There's a reason why this floor hasn't been done.
It's 20 hours a week on a 6,000 square foot building with a ton of floor space.
Is he available more? Or is that all you can do?
That's all we budgeted for.
Well, but if you want to spend money on an outside crew, you didn't budget for that either.
No,
but I think it's something that we should think about, maybe. I think it's important to have a clean building when people come in and not have cobwebs in every corner or dirty toilets.
I'll be honest with you. What's going through my head is I'm thinking about my days as, you know, Commissioner of Parks in the main office mm-hmm. in Liverpool. Okay, mm-hmm. And I was always complaining to this guy because his crew just never did a good enough cleaning job. And I think my question for me
there you go,
is,
Bob, take that.
Is it Well, is it a management issue or is it a time issue? You know, are we getting everything we can? I don't even know, Brandy. So I want you guys to talk about it. I would support anything to keep this building clean. But are you getting as much mileage out of this individual as you can possibly get? Or is there something to be desired?
So you're saying, is there somebody to tell Brandy, hey, this needs to be done?
Well, I know Joe has done that. Joe has talked to Brandy a lot.
You guys kicking around some more is what I'm suggesting. Because if it's really an issue that if within 20 hours a week you just can't possibly get it all done, then come back to it. That's what I would say.
So in 5 hours, you got to clean how many bathrooms, the kitchen? Right? Is that 5 hours a night?
Morning.
Morning, okay. 6 a.m. to 10.
6 a.m. to 6 to 10.
Okay, so 4 hours. So in 4 hours.
Room floors, rotunda. I can say this, every morning when I come in, it's between 7 and 7.30, you mop. Usually my garbage, and as he mops, he wakes his way around the building, and so trash cans.
Dusts the countertops, looks at the sconces, does a...
It's a lot of square footage. That's the bottom line.
I mean, unless you want me to take him around one morning and just point out the things that should be cleaned up. I mean, you walk into the foyer in front, and there's cobwebs and dead bugs, and the floor is dirty. It's gross. This is not... We serve the public. This, you know...
If you have a level of concern about that, I would not prevent you from sitting down with him and.
And if I'm here, 7 hours a day, I'm going to use the bathroom once or twice, and I don't want to be using a dirty, gross bathroom. I have a real issue with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one.
No, I know.
Yeah.
And so, well, he should know that he's missing something.
Yeah.
He can just plainly say, I just can't get to it. I mean, I'm mopping floors. I'm picking up trash.
So just investigate.
We will.
I mean, I'd be happy to take that on, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be clean. Yeah. You're right.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
You got it.
Okay. I got a few questions.
If
you don't mind. Just show some quick updates. The Collington Point driveway damage that we all got an email or someone. What's the
Tess Owens?
Tess
Owens.
What's the story on that?
What do we ever figure out on that, Gene? That Tess Owens was upset at some equipment that had raked across their parking lot?
No, it's the driveway. It's not Tess Owens restaurant. It's Tess Owens is a resident.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Had the occasion to go perpendicular to the road to yell those bumps in the road, and then that particular bump happened to be in front of his driveway. So he had to back the machine about 6 feet, 8 feet maybe, into his driveway in order to gain access to the bump in the road. I would term it as more of a deep scratch. It was, I would say, 3/8 of an inch wide and less than 1/4 inch deep. And it was about 3.5 to 4 feet long. We filled it with some, we got some stuff in the jar that's been here since one of my predecessors bought it. Must have bought a case of it. It was at the shower. We said, well, there's a good chance to try it, see how it works. And put it on there, and the guy said he was happy, and he apologized for the nasty gram that he had sent, and he realized that it was a very small matter, and it was necessary to do the road work. And so he said he was content.
Okay,
so... You're saying Tissone said to you that he was content, he was satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Just kind of a little dust gathered on the spray park. Where are we going with the spray park?
So the spray park, I thought after the first of the year, we need to revisit that and... and we need to consider a bond resolution.
Okay, so we'll get to it like after the new year.
Yep.
Okay, good idea. Okay, so I read this. I want to give this to somebody because I'm sure you all saw it. But there was an article in the Messenger, and maybe it's a dead end, by Will Barkley several weeks ago on November 22nd. Low volume road designations would save taxpayer dollars. I don't know what this is, but
we do that with what's the cross between 60 Road and Smoky Hollow? That seasonal road we
Kellogg.
It's not our road. That's a county road.
Yeah, but we maintain that, don't we?
No.
Oh, they do?
Now, one portion of it, we plow for the county, the portion that's a 12-month road. The seasonal part of the road, the county does not plow it.
Right, but they just started shutting that off.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we should give this to Jerry to investigate. Are there any town roads that would fall into this? If there's not, just throw this in the garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay. Or give it to the highway committee for them to consider and pass along.
There you go. Joe, you had brought. I took some notes. There was some land along Barber Lane, that we were potentially interested in having donated to us. That
yeah.
Fall apart. Whatever.
Yeah, it was basically.
Sweat.
Well, that's. And I still think it's executive session worthy material until we officially put it to bed. But.
Okay.
We could, because there's another land purchase potential that we could go into executive session to talk about, and we could link those two.
Okay. So we'll talk about that at some point. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty much all I have.
You want to do that now?
Okay. Yeah, might as well.
Got a half hour.
Okay. Can I get a motion to move into executive session at 6:24?
Move that.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carried. We are in executive session. Tony, here's a copy, paper copy of that check that I scanned to you. Did you get that?
Oh, yeah, I've got it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So we're all set there now?
I sent it in, and I talked to the IT guy. Now it's being handled by another department, and I'm waiting for them to... The county operates a little bit like the state. That send it to this one. This one's got to approve it. Send it to that one.
Awesome.